And we're live!
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 109 of Fans of Power. I'm Joe Amato, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. And, my voice, I know I don't sound as energetic as normal. For those who normally listen, I'm usually pumped up. And for those that are new, yes, I usually sound more energetic. Just, I had a recent event with something, you know, personal in the family. So, like I said, that's what's great about the podcast, I guess. You know, I can talk with you guys and talk with Tyler and interact, and it kind of, you know, lifts my spirits up and, you know, helps me, you know, I guess, you know, just feel better. So, so just in case you're wondering why I sounded like I sounded, but I'm still going to be enthused, but we're going to do a little different type of an episode today. We have a couple topics, and one in particular as Tyler, you might be seeing on his, you're going to see when he starts talking. You'll see, we're going to have a giveaway, we'll talk about something, talk about a couple other things, but go ahead, Tyler, how's it going? You go ahead, so it can pop up your screen.
Oh, man, I'm on top of the world here, people. I'm ready to sink my teeth into some good meaty topics here this evening, and I'm hoping that as I'm talking here, people have a good idea of what we'll be talking about here. And if you're not familiar with this image, it is the Super 7 PowerCon box art for the three-pack of Terror, Plasmar, and Lord Grast, because we will, in fact, be discussing and reviewing the two PowerCon Super 7 three-packs on this week's episode. And we were very fortunate to be offered an excellent deal on these sets, and it was just like this. It was an awesome offer, and it worked out for both Joe and I both, so we want to thank our buddy who set us up with an excellent deal on these things here. And we just thought, you know what, let's talk about this stuff. You know, it's, you know, we've never done a figure review ever. That's kind of not what we do. We're talking about, yeah, it looks awesome, looks great, but to actually review it, this is new territory for us. You know, we're not looking to branch out and do figure reviews by any means, but just thought, you know, share our thoughts on these two three-packs here that, me personally, I'm impressed with everything here. I mean, I've heard some negative things, but I don't have one negative thing to say. I've had all six of these figures out since the night that I got them in the mail, and I've just had the best time posing them and everything. I mean, my personal favorite is Terror. I have had the best time, put him here in the camera. I've got him in a particular pose here. I've just had the best time posing this guy. I mean, he's so easy to pose. And let me tell you this. When I got it, Joe asked me if I had done the neck attachment, because I saw the instruction. You know, you had to use a hairdryer and stuff, and I don't own a hairdryer. And I kind of left it be, and I kind of got curious, like, let's see if I can do it. So I did the whole hot water thing, and I successfully did it. I'm like, man, I'm just like Joe Amato. I'm customizing toys with hot water and things.
No, oh, yeah, I guess that's the alternative. If you don't have the hair dryer, you could use
dryer. And the water wasn't boiling; it was just steamy. And maybe less than a minute of just dunking each part in there, and everything fit together fine. So, you know, people, don't be fooled. If you haven't got these things, I can't stress enough that they are worth purchasing. I mean, all of them. I mean, they haven't had the little guns that fit in Plasmar's wrist gauntlets. They don't stay in permanently. Like, you kind of have to pose it just right for them to stay in. So this is probably how mine will stay. I apologize for not holding up any closer there, but I mean, all the joints are tight. I mean, all the paint apps, Joe and certain people look at things a lot differently than I do, but when it comes to figures, like I don't examine I'm just going to go ahead and set them now. They're not going to stay up the entire time anyway.
Lord Grasp, I just wanted to say, I think is my favorite out of all of them, because he actually looks like almost a new character, you know, just with the way they painted up his face. I mean, it tricks you. You almost forget it's squeezed when you look at Lord Grasp.
I didn't realize that until I was talking to Joe after I'd opened it up, because I had never examined these things in like extreme close-up. So, you know, and as I was talking, I was like, holy hell, that's Squeeze. And he's like, yeah, they just repaint, you know, which I thought this was the only one that they had done a brand new head sculpt for, because it looks, I mean, it's a very distinct look. I mean, the yellow and the black, and I mean, hope everyone can see that already as I'm talking there. But
yeah, they did a good job. They did a good job with the paint job. Yeah. And back to Terror real quick. Like, you know, when you were saying you didn't have the hair dryers to use, just the hot water. And I've always said with the hot water, of course, you have to be careful because it could affect the plastic, you know, later on when you're doing, you know, if you're ever to do that again. So that's why I said, just whether you even did the hair dryer or the boiling water, especially with Terror, just leave him alone. Try not to play and do any more popping, because that type of plastic, I could just tell when I, you know, looked at it, it could possibly break. So just be careful. He's a great looking figure. But as you've seen, like throughout the years, some people with their classics Roboto, he yeah. just starts having stress marks out of nowhere. I mean, some people said, hey, I barely posed him. So you have to be careful. I also wanted to say hello to everybody that's in the chat room. I appreciate it. There's just so many people that, I mean, as we're talking, they keep popping up. And thank you for the condolences, everyone. I appreciate that, too. But, yes, there's a lot of people in the chat room. So we'll definitely be trying to get to you during the show, and appreciate you being here. But you go ahead. You can continue, Tyler, on which figures you were talking about.
I mean, I can't emphasize, Terror has been my favorite. I mean, hands down, just because how easy it is. I mean, maybe it was just mine, but mine was just so easy to pose and just have him do a whole lot. I mean, the neck, I mean, to be able to move the neck a whole lot around and pose the head like he's cocking his head, you know. And I mean, it's just been the most fun to pose and play with. The legs are nice and easy to move around. It's been a blast. And Plasmar, I mean, it looks, I mean, all of them are, they're even better in person. I mean, I.
A quick question about the figures in general, because I actually didn't know if, was there ever any definitive color designs that were going to be used for the vintage ones, or did we just get the black and white Errol McCarthy art and.
No, it was just black and white. And honestly, with what they chose, it's, I mean, I'm sure they probably could have come up with some different ideas, but I like the idea of making Plasmar either, you know, possibly Hispanic with his darker skin tone, or maybe he's just kind of a bearded guy with a real nice tan, or he could be some sort of a other ethnicity. But the fact of adding, you know, a different kind of, you know, fleshing out the human, you know, characters, you know, is a different ethnicity, which I thought, I'm just assuming, I don't know. But I thought that was interesting to make it not look so obvious as a Fisto repaint, at least in head sculpt. And I like the idea of his pants are snakeskin, as if like he's used it from like snake men that he's killed, kind of like it's like Boba Fett's pellets, like Wookiee pellets on his outfit there. So I thought maybe like Plasmar is fashioned part of his outfit from dead snake men that he's hunted down and killed. At least that was my thought on that too.
And the names also, really quick, the names, were these all names that were modern-made names? I mean, none of the names that are used, were they?
All these, because I can't remember where it was listed at, but it did come out. I think the Power and Honor Foundation got that info of what all three of these guys' original names were. I think it's how we found out that the White Ninja was called Slammerai. But originally, like, it's not Plasmar or Hotshot. I think it's something else. I'm sure maybe, you know, I could be wrong, but I remember seeing that and saw that their original names were not what we got. I personally liked Hotshot as a cool name. I mean, I'm fine with Plasmar, though, but I liked Hotshot better. Lord Grasp, I'm pretty sure he had a different name as well. But, I mean, I know there's been some negative feedback about these characters. Some people don't quite understand. They think it maybe it's just lazy, but that it's just mishmash of parts. But a lot of the characters are mishmash of parts. I mean, that's what Mossman and Stinkor are of Beastman and Merman. And honestly, it's hard for me to argue against. Who was I'm talking here? People can see this stuff a little bit better. I apologize for. I'm probably not making it as super clear. Like I said, this is not my forte. I just want to emphasize that I think these are fantastic figures. And for anybody that's on the fence about worrying about they don't look that good, or you're worried about the breaking stuff, I mean, I have no experience in taking figures apart and putting them together and all that stuff. And this whole boiling water thing was a cinch, and it's been awesome. And I told Joe, I have no intentions of removing the neck piece, the neck extension on Terror. Like, that's how he's depicted in Earl McCarthy's art. that's how he's going to stay. So
yeah, just leave him be. Yeah, I wouldn't play around with any more fun. Yeah, I mean, he does look great. I mean, same thing with Lord Grass. I mean, all the figures, I mean, they're fantastic looking figures. Just like you said, you got to be careful with, you know, a couple in particular, and one mainly being Terror. But I mean, like you said, they have a different, cool, different design. You know, it makes you wonder, like, what really could have been planned for the vintage figures and what kind of stories they could have had in background, and if they would have been part of the Power of Grayskull line with Hero and Eldor. And, you know, it's just, you know, like, looking at Terror, you're right, it doesn't bug me that they're a reuse of parts, because like you said, we've seen that before in the past, and they did enough to him to really make him unique. And the same thing with Lord Grasp. I mean, Lord Grasp really does have a unique look. I would say that Plasmar, that's the one that...
Yeah.
He's, I guess, my least favorite. He's still a cool-looking figure, but I know that even if I would have got him as a kid, that would... The head is, it's obviously a dead giveaway of, yes, you would have known it was Fisto. Unlike the others, kind of tricked you. Like, even back in the day, like I said, I was tricked by Mossman and Stinkor. There was just a clever way of painting. And the same thing with Lord Grasp. He's painted clever, and Terror just has enough unique, different, crazy mishmash of parts. It's like, it's too fun. So, I mean, they're all cool looking figures, but I guess if I had a least favorite, it'd be Plasmar, just because, I don't know. He does look like Fisto. Even though, you know,
tough. Different done to Plasmar, because yeah, the head sculpt clearly is Fisto. However, like when I look, think about the Fuerza T toy line that was done, you know, and there's not a whole lot done to Fisto other than he's given Man at Arms armor, I think, and it's the same head sculpt and everything. Unlike some of the villains like Carnivore and I forgot the ones that were mishmashed of Clawful, Webstore, and Beastman, I think, and Merman. I mean, I clearly saw it was just like the same parts, but they look quite good. I will say that when I saw the concept art of these characters, like Terror itself, I thought, man, that is, it comes off as kind of like they really weren't trying so hard at first when I first saw it. But when I have him in hand here, I mean, God, he's just, I never thought I would like this character as much as I do. And I mean, I like the paint app of the... I guess the roar effect that would be coming out is almost like his neck is heating up like a dragon would.
Yeah, that paint effect on the neck, yeah.
Which you look at the card art that Axel drew, it looks like it's some sort of, you know, blast of some kind coming out of his mouth. If for people who have not yet seen it, I don't know if you guys can see it as clear. Forgive the for people who download this episode, The image is pretty easy to find if you Google it.
Oh, they definitely will be able to see that. Yeah. When you were talking, it's big enough. And obviously I can see that you cut your box open to make sure you got that piece of art, because it is cool.
And I cut off the bios because when I saw that names like the Unnamed One and King He-Man were still written in these bios, I'm like, no, I'm going to come up with my own ideas for these characters. Not because Scott Nightley's not writing these bios anymore. So I'm not, you know, going after people who write bios anymore. You know,
I was going to say, I don't know how much of a reflection, I can't see anything at all, but obviously this is what it looks like to everybody that's wondering what the three pack would look like. I hope that's clear enough, because I'm
obviously... a bit of a reflection. I think we can see that blow up doll in the reflection that you have.
You caught her, huh?
Yeah. Okay. That's all right though. Hey, we're
all right. Well, either way, I'll do just a little panning back and forth. Eventually something will pick up, but no. Yeah, so that's what it looks like in, you know, in the three pack. But yeah, I mean, later on, I'm going to let you guys know how I'm going to, you know, give you a chance to win this, because I figured, you know what, I like helping people out, you know, and if somebody could have something, hopefully as a nice Christmas gift, you know, I just thought it'd be nice. You know, I wanted to give this away and give everybody out there a chance to win it. Later, I'll tell you how to do that. And yeah, I'd hope that, you know, like I said, it'd be a nice Christmas gift for somebody to have and enjoy if they've never had these figures yet. So those three, yes. Yeah. Now, see, I haven't taken them out of the package. I had a question on Plasmar's chest. He has what looks like it might be a somewhat translucent triangle on his chest. Is that anything that glows or does anything special?
No, it's just like I'm kind of like holding it up to the light. And of course, the plastic is all see-through, but it almost looks like it's lighting up, like the box art for Plasmar. I mean, his weapons all light up as if like they're being charged and firing the laser blast or heat blast that would come out of it, almost as if like maybe the chest plate is part of what, because they're locked into his gauntlet, so you could almost feel like his armor helps generate, you know, the plasma blast coming from his weapons, from his crossbow to his wrist guns, you know, kind of similar to how like Rio Blast's guns will pop out at the wrist, almost as if like, you know, it's charged by, I don't know, cordite or something like that. You know, it's
another thing I want to ask, because I couldn't remember the Errol McCarthy art very well for, you know, all these characters, but did Lord Grasp in the Errol McCarthy art, does he have a Snake Man symbol on his chest? Because I see that there's one on the figure here. I wasn't sure if there was one on the...
I don't recall seeing one in the Errol McCarthy art. And I don't recall seeing one on Terror either. But then again, too, I just was looking at the overall image and not specific details. What I can remember is that Plasmar / Hotshot, his wrist guns were flipping out like Rio Blast, that they would kind of fold out. I remember in the corner, like when he's holding up his one of his hands, I think, to attack Terror in one of those, or maybe it's one of the Horde Snake Men. I can't remember which. But it's like it would come out, it would fold out just like how Rio Blast would. Whereas like the classic version of Rio Blast, you have to plug the wrist gun into his wrist, but the concept is that it would flip out like a gun, like holding it, flipping out.
Okay.
But it seemed like there's a lot of fun. And of course you got Slamurai hidden in the background back there.
The box art, exactly.
I hope Super 7 has intentions of releasing a white colored version of Ninja with a few minor, very small changes, because that's what the character is. And honestly, you know, when I look at this concept characters, that's what we were supposed to get in the next wave of He-Man toys, along with Powers of Grayskull. Whether these have been part of the He-Man line or Powers of Grayskull, whether they've been friends with Hero or friends and enemies of He-Man and new members of the Snake Men, I think it's awesome either way. It's cool to see more members of the Snake Men, which Lord Grass can pass as a Snake Man, of course, and Terror. I mean, is a cyborg Snake Man. Why not? They have blast attack. Why not have a Snake Man that's got some cybernetic parts?
There's nothing wrong with that at all. Like I said, plus it builds your ranks of the Snake Man warriors if you wanted by having those two, and then Plasmar obviously being, you know, a heroic one. But yeah, so you have two evils, one good, and you can only imagine what we'd get if they would give us that ninja. I'm not sure if they would, like you said, if that was actually his real intended vintage name.
It's going to be Slammer, I'm pretty sure. I know someone came up with the name Ghost for him because he's a white ninja, but Slammerai, even though when you see the concept art, he's like slashing his sword up, not doing anything slamming, like, I don't know, the ability to be able to hold a character and then slam him down, kind of like the Ultimate Warrior Gorilla Press or something like
that. Yeah, because that's what I was envisioning, that obviously if his name really was going to be Slamurai for the vintage line, he would have maybe had a gimmick or something of maybe the arms doing something. But since these don't have gimmicks, you know, I'm always one for saying, hey, keep what you were going to do, you know, and you know, back then, if that's what you're going to go with, go with. But the name Slamurai does seem off for, I guess, a classic figure if they decide to do it. It's like I almost wondered, maybe they should rename him. Like, maybe not Ghost, not Slamurai, but something, because not having the gimmick only makes it seem stranger. Don't get me wrong, I love all the names of things from the past, but
like a backslash, like his gimmick would be that you could turn him and he does like a backhand, like he slams his fist into you or something like that, you know, like, because the figure, he's doing like the concept, he's slashing upwards, not really anything slamming. But I mean, obviously you're trying to play off, you know, a samurai and stuff like that, of course. So I get why they're trying, but
just different, because, you know, when you look at a samurai, you get a whole different, you know, vision. Well, yeah. Than this. This looks like just a ninja.
No, it's, you know, you kind of feel like, but it's hard for me to, you know, to question what was originally planned, because I embrace all the vintage stuff. And if that's what they were going to give us, a white ninja called Slamurai, then
again, was that Would that have been definitive? Meaning, do you think they would have went the route of making him actually be a white ninja to be the opposite of Ninjor's black? Because, you know, I feel like we got that in G.I. Joe. It just seems like it's redundant. I almost wish that maybe he could have a more, like, when you look at this box art, you know, he kind of has a, maybe it's because he's in the shadows, but grayish, bluish tones. I would just hope that if they release him and do make him, that he's not pure white. Because I
kind of like that, though, like, because I've always liked the Snake Eye Storm Shadow thing, and in the Rambo toy line, I always liked White and Black Dragon, which they're complete opposites of each other, but I kind of like, I mean, because with the way Axel drew him here, like, he's got no pupils, like, his eyes are solid white. I mean, hell, you could even play him up as a blind ninja, you know, like, I mean, I think that'd be kind of a cool idea that this blind ninja is an expert with a bow and arrow, nunchucks, you know, samurai sword, and, you know, an expert in ninjutsu and various other things, a great, you know, assassin, so to speak, but, you know, not killing for.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see his take, however they do it. But yeah, those three, I mean, they're all great looking figures. The two that are my favorites, like I said, Terror and Lord Grass, but I still think Lord Grass is my favorite. Plasmar, least favorite. Still cool color choices, but I guess that would be out of my three. I would pick Lord Grasp as my favorite. But, I mean, they're all great-looking figures. Just,
yeah.
Like I said, be careful with Terror. But, well, yeah, you can move on to the other three-pack that you have.
I guess I'll just kind of hold them up one at a time here, because I'm trying to make sure people can see it pretty well. But first one up here is the mini comic Trap Jaw, which I got no problems with. I think it looks great. I noticed there's a bit of a slight paint chip when I was moving his arm in and out, but I mean, like, that's not a big deal to me. That's not even a nitpick. I was just pointing at something I just happened to notice.
How was your head? Because I've heard issues on the head at times. Like I said, I haven't touched this. I have that three pack too, which this will be given away at some point. But
because I'm moving his head around. I mean, it's slightly loose, but no, it's holding just fine. I mean, I know, with so many of these things I've gotten over the years, people have had problems with certain figures. I didn't when some that I did, but I'm just not that harsh on figures that may have a few problems, because they're going to, like, I was never worried about King Hiss and Roboto's reverse shoulders. Like, until people pointed it out, hell, I didn't notice it. When I did, I'm like, eh, who cares?
Okay. You know?
But Trap Jaw, I think he looks fantastic. I don't have a negative thing to say about him. All this is wholeheartedly here, people. I don't have anything. I don't have nitpicks, because I look at the visual, and because he's going to go on the shelf and be, you know, displayed. I mean, I look at him and I see this is the mini comic version of Trap Jaw. You know, the menace of Trap Jaw. I mean, yeah, a lot of people like this version of Trap Jaw, so I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, there may be some things that other fans notice, and, you know, that's perfectly fine. But I give it a full endorsement on that, because I like how he looks. I love how he looks.
No, I mean, he is another great figure. I love that they did his mini comic belt. I like that they gave him the trunks like they were. You know, the head, you could tell, is a completely different new head. The one thing is, I've done a couple customs for people before, to where I've taken, like, you know, the other classics Trap Jaw, and I've sculpted to make the eyes look a little more evil and tense. I sculpted, you know, like a full bracer for him, and the colors, don't get me wrong, I like the colors, but I think it's too, for my taste, a little too neon green. This is just me as how, you know, as a customizer looking at the comics, looking at other things and doing stuff, that I think it should be slightly more yellowish green, not as neon green, but I love it. But the one thing about the head, which it is, it's bam, it looks like it popped right out of the mini comic. I never did this for my customers, because my customers always wanted a poseable jaw. And when I looked at the mini comic version, I was like, man, I know I'm going to have to do a lot of retooling of that helmet, and how will I make that poseable? That's going to be weird. So when I seen this, I was like, oh my God, they did it. But then I found out that jaw does not pose, but it doesn't take away from anything, because there's people that would probably keep them in that exact pose. But, well, I guess it made me feel better, because I kept thinking, how am I going to sculpt that different way the helmet goes and keep it poseable still? But no, I love, like, the head. The head looks absolutely exact to the mini comic. I like the addition of the belt. I like the addition of the new way the crotch should be instead of a furry loincloth. I mean, I've did different versions. I did a furry loincloth. I've also sculpted the different kind of
come off like a furry loincloth at all. This comes off as if like a leather bottom that he's wearing there.
Exactly. So because that's how it looks in the mini comic. Yeah. You don't see really fur. It's like you said, real tidy. You could say tidy whities, but they're purple and black.
All tidy whities. We don't need people to give yeah. a reason to sit there and say, "Oh man, he's
no.
around his underwear."
No, just give an example. Okay, wrestler trunks. I think that's the best example.
Yeah, trunk sounds better than
tiny. Yeah, wrestler.
Jokes about He-Man.
No, so a type of wrestler trunks. So they did that perfectly. And yes, I wasn't expecting, of course, like, you know, I knew they weren't going to go insane on completely renewed tooling of everything, like give them a new forearm bracer, add details onto the armor thing. Of course, you're not expecting all of that. But to get a great new head is fantastic, and the new piece is there. So he's... Like I said, he's another great-looking figure. Out of the three-pack here, I think, you know, that's it's a debate, because I would say Trapjaw is my favorite from the three-pack. My least favorite, I don't know if I want to say Prince Adam or Stratos, because, yes, I could tell that Prince Adam, he's looking, I think he has the color design from one of the Alcala mini-comics, even though I know that in the early DC comics that predated it, he had a blue type one, too, but...
It looks a lot more similar to the DC three-part miniseries Prince Adam.
Okay, so is that what it's supposed to be based off of?
But he also looks like the Alcala one, but I think the color scheme. I remember seeing the blue in the DC comic books, and he's got kind of the gray look in the mini comics. I thought, like in the Dragon's Gift, for example. Okay.
All right. Okay. Real quick, it doesn't say as for Stratos. I can see that they gave instead of doing just. They gave a removable toy, I mean, mini comic accurate belt. It's one that can go over like the gold one he has, which you'll be showing here in a second. So, I mean, he looks good too. I mean, what else? I mean, there's nothing that could really be done different about Stratos. And then, yes, he has his feather necklace. Thank God. So he's got his feather necklace, has a new belt. He would look like he did when he was Caucasian, if you want to say Caucasian in the mini comic. So, but go ahead and you talk and you can show what he looks like.
I mean, he looks spot on from the first few mini comics, from the basic Caucasian skin tone, and he's got the necklace around him, and the little bit more gold, kind of gold plated. He's got the wristbands on there, and a little bit of gold around his belt. But I mean, that's what this was supposed to be. It's supposed to be a representation of how he was drawn in the first. Several mini comics, and he looks like he leaped right off the page. So I know a lot of fans who prefer Alcala as their type. I mean, this should, you know, answer your prayers for, you know, is getting another version from that series of stories is getting this Stratos. I mean, we've got the Red Beast Man, you've got the Alcala Skeletor head, you've got this Prince Adam. I think all they could do maybe next. And even then, I mean, maybe a different kind of Teela, but I think the Battleground Teela is kind of, you swap heads with her, it kind of gives you that kind of Alcala feel. But looks great. I mean, me personally, I'm always going to go with the gray Stratos, because to me, that's always been Stratos to me.
And you know what's funny is, hold on, I was just grabbing one thing real quick. Okay. No, as for Stratos in general, see, that's the thing. I don't want to sound like I was coming down on this figure in, you know, as a personal one.
Everyone in the chat room heard you. People who listen to this later on will know that you were coming down on Stratos here.
No, because anybody that knows me, I always tell the story of when we talk about sometimes our vintage figures and memories of them. Stratos was one of my least favorite figures just because, I don't know, sometimes I hold him and act like he's flying, but I was like, man, he just doesn't appeal to me. So he's always, it's horrible. I hate saying it because I know there's people that love Stratos.
I didn't have Stratos as a kid until I think I got in first grade when I bought him at a flea market in Pennsylvania. I desperately wanted Stratos to play with the rest of my He-Man toys.
Did you get at least the wings and the jetpack attachment?
No, my Stratos had nothing. He had nothing. There was
and you enjoyed that? Oh, dear God. That thing would have been, oh.
I had no, believe me, when I was able to look for He-Man toys in 87, 88, Stratos was not around. So when I saw him in a yard sale, he was missing everything. But I'm like, oh my God, I've got Stratos for the first time and only pay like a dollar for him. And
And that's probably all it would have been worth, too, I tell you. No, that's why I'm glad they gave him the Emerald Staff of Avion, because as a kid with having all my figures and all of them having some kind of weapon and feeling like they can engage in battle, that vintage Stratos had no weapon, and it bored the crap out of me. So at least this one, as you can see from Tyler's picture, and maybe you can see from mine, well, of course, I always move the box in wrong directions, but he at least comes with that Emerald Staff of Avion from the mini comics then, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so, yes.
I mean,
so,
can you not see it when you're talking to me here? Can you not see the Emerald Staff?
Yeah, you're right in front of me. Well, there you go. So at least that gives some kind of appeal. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, they went through at least giving the nice feather necklace, the new belt. So if you are a super fan of the Caucasian version of him, yes, you're finally, you know, you finally have him. When it comes to Prince Adam, like I said, I can see what people were saying. See, I think that's weird. Shadows was always my least favorite.
What were they saying about Prince Adam? Okay, kind of name?
Well, I'll get to that real quick. I mean, you know, when I was looking at this, I was almost going to say Stratos was my least favorite just because of old memories as a kid. But, I mean, they did a great job of, from the mini comics. So I'll give it to him. But Prince Adam, I think they were saying his plastic looks shinier, strange. And I'm looking at that, and I could see maybe what they're saying compared to the other figures. I don't know if yours looks like that. I mean, again, he looks like he, you know, the interpretation that they came from the comics, given that color design and... And the angry head, is that the Savage He-Man's head? Yeah. Or
that's essentially, yeah, the Savage He-Man head on this, you know.
And you know what? I think some people have gotten so tired of just the happy smiley face He-Man / Prince Adam head from the other one.
That's why you put the vintage head that they made on He-Man. That's what I did, because I was not I always felt like as the classic line progressed, all the human characters, their faces got more detailed, and then you look back at He-Man, it just kind of has this kind of plain looking, less detailed face. So to get either this head sculpt or the one that was reminiscent of the vintage one, which is by far my favorite, and that's what I have on display here, you know, I get that kind of smiling He-Man that lacks the detail, whereas the vintage head has got, you know, you see the cheekbones, it's chiseled in the face, and this one's got, you know, a lot more face definition as well. So that first He-Man head sculpt, you know, that's got to go. I mean, it just, you know, does a disservice when you look at King Randor, Stratos, Rio Blast, Man-at-Arms, Hero, Clamp Champ, you know. I mean, everybody's, you know, looks so much more, you know, detailed, you know.
And I think the reason this works as well, too, is, I mean, when you think of the Savage looking version of He-Man from, you know, the first original mini comic, and of course you get the Savage figure, and that was drawn by Alcala, and then maybe they thought that head, since Alcala drew, you know, many of the other mini comics, and some did have Prince Adam, and I think he did have a blue vest in some of those mini comics, I think that Alcala did. I think that's why that head of Prince Adam works better than that super happy looking one that we got with, you know, the He-Man figure. I mean, the, you know, Prince Adam / He-Man to move them back and forth. But yeah, go to maybe, I don't know if it would be, oh God, showing my lack of knowledge. I don't know if it would have been from Dragon's Gift.
From the secret, I mean, the Dragon's Gift, he's wearing that same outfit. Well, not, actually, no, not the same outfit.
Did he have blue though in Dragon's Gift, or was it?
It's gray. And actually it looks completely different. So there is no similarity there. He's just wearing the one piece in the, but it's different color. Like he's got this kind of pattern going over his shoulder, and it's a blue, whereas you got like the gold shoulder pads here. It doesn't have.
Could it have been masks? What about Masks of Power? Possibly Masks of Power or He-Man and the Insect People? I thought he did have the blue look. So, you know, because at first I immediately thought DC, like, oh, they took that from DC, but then everybody said, no, Joe, that's his color design that they used from the mini comic. I was like, oh, I didn't know. Because, like, again, I didn't own these figures before, so I had no clue where the origin was from, of which, you know, depiction they were taken. But
Okay, Masks of Power, yes, he's wearing blue, but the shoulder piece is different. Like I said, you look at this here, he's got these gold shoulder pads, not shoulder pads, but it's part of the outfit, like this gold shoulder piece. Whereas you look at Masks of Power, it's a blue outfit, but he's got the same, it's drawn the exact same way as it was in Dragon's Gift, where it's got this pattern along the shoulders here. So it's similar but different.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I wanted to make sure.
I'm had the DC mini series with me at the moment. It's boxed up, but
yeah, because I know it was blue in that. I couldn't remember. I know that one of them, I thought they had some weird kind of like, you know, rib design or little dots or something. But again, that's just me trying to go off the top of my head. Like I said, my head, I'm still trying to focus on things. That's why we weren't doing an origin story of a comic or a book or a character profile. We just wanted to do a little something different to keep it, you know, kind of fun. And I guess something relatable that it was a little easier for, I guess, my mind too. But no, so, I mean, what's your final thought on Prince Adam from the three-pack?
I mean, he looks great. I mean, I don't have a negative thing to say. I can't think of things like ankle articulation or shoulder joints or, oh, there's something wrong, like there's not enough wrinkles around the belt, you know, kind of stuff. Like, I'm just not a nitpicker like that. I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to He-Man toys. I mean, all three from that three pack, Trapjaw, Stratos. I mean, Trapjaw is my favorite, just because, it's Trapjaw, and it seems like the biggest of the variants, Trapjaw seems to be, you know, even though Stratos has got more with him, Prince Adam has got a complete different outfit. I mean, I guess just because Trapjaw's was so prominent, because that was the only time we really saw him like this.
I feel like Trapjaw, at least from this three pack, to choose from all of them, it seemed like he got more of the addition treatment, meaning a new head, a new belt, a new crotch, and of course you look at Stratos and he has a new belt, a new feather piece. You know, of course they give him the Emerald Staff of Avion, but it seems like for my order, I would go mini comic Trapjaw, then go Stratos, then goes Prince Adam. I think that would be the order I'd pick. And I am going to get to some of the people in the chat room when we finish up on this before we get to the next topic, because we've had quite a few people, like Grimbot said the Blue Vest Adam was first in the DC comics before the mini. And you're correct. That was the blue version that we seen as kids first, was that compared to seeing and then the mini comics we seen a Blue Vest Prince Adam. But you're correct, Grimbot. So I'll make sure I get to everybody there, but I'll let you finish up with that before we get to the next topic. And then, eventually I'm going to mention how they get these figures.
Again, I just want to reiterate, and I'll just put my absolute favorite Terror Roar back up here for people to look at as I'm talking. If you have any second thoughts and you're still not quite sure what you think about these guys, you get a chance to pick up these three packs. I would do it in a heartbeat, because I mean, they're very, I think they're going to look, I've yet to put them on the shelf, because I was going to wait till we talked about them before I actually tear down my shelves and find proper space for them. Cause I want to give them proper, spaces on the shelf to where I can see them pretty easily and they don't get buried back behind, you know, I mean, Terror Roar is going to get a good spot. So will Lord Grasp and Plasmor. I'll put them with the Heroic Warriors, cause we don't know what his, history was going to be. So I'd like to think he is possibly going to be another Heroic Warrior that teams up with He-Man possibly. But like I said, pass the word on. If you wanted these things, but part of you wasn't very sure, or you had no intentions of buying them, period, because you didn't like how they looked or whatever, you know, I'm an easy to please He-Man fan. And yet on this podcast, I've probably done a lot of complaining about stuff from certain canons and certain stories, but I'm really not that hard to please. I just like calling out problems, and I'm sorry, but there's no problems with either one of these three packs. I think the Horsemen and Super Seven, you know, they did a good job with this stuff. I can't find anything negative to say. So
especially if, like you said, at first, if you're somebody that is a mint in box or mint on card collector, you have no worries. If you're somebody like me, where again, when I got my Roboto, that's on the other wall over there. But when I got my Classics Roboto, I put him in one pose, kept him in that. I've never reposed him. And after I heard about the plastic cracking throughout the years, if you move, I was like, I'm just going to leave him alone. Now, I can understand. It could really upset there are the fans that do like doing a lot of posing for battles, for pictures, for dioramas. And I can understand for them, if something cracks, yes, I see why they would be upset. So you'd have to be careful. So, I mean, if you're a big poser of a lot of the figures, yes, I can understand being careful with Terror Roar and possibly Trapjaw. I think those were the ones I heard with the most. But otherwise, I mean, they are great looking figures if you're somebody that keeps them sealed or just a one-shot poser. You know, that sounds strange when I say that, but you know what I mean? Just when you pose them and leave them, They're great, but yes, there have been the issues about Terror and at least Trapjaw. And again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody in the chat room can correct me. I'm not sure, but
Well,
I could have.
yeah, don't let the people fool you, because like I said, I was hesitant to do the whole thing with Terror, but just doing the hot water thing for less than a minute. I mean, I spent more time boiling the water than actually putting him together the way he's supposed to be here.
Yeah. I just would. Again, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I would just, again, as from doing customs, I just recommend just don't touch him again. I wouldn't do it because, you know, the boiling water method does affect the plastic more than a hair dryer, but you don't have a hair dryer. But you're right. At least you were able to pose him, get him in that, leave him. Just don't touch him again. I'd get scared something could happen. That's just coming from me.
Terror is, he was depicted on the McCarthy art with an extended neck, so that's how I'm going to depict him on my shelf, is that that's how he's supposed to look, as a snake man with a long neck. And I'm going to leave the blaster in his hand, too. I'm not going to put the trap jaw hook or the claw in his hand. I like the blaster in his hand. So I can't emphasize this enough. If you haven't bought them yet, I would seek them out. And if you're not convinced that they're quality, I'm sorry, but I've been posing all these figures all week waiting to discuss tonight, and I don't find a problem with them. And I've heard issues of Stratus's necklace, I think, but I mean, that's if you're going to remove it and use it somewhere else. I mean, that might be a problem, I guess, but hell, I'm leaving these figures as is. I'll just pick a particular pose for them, and you know, maybe the poses will change over time, but God, man, I think they're great. I'm very thankful to have these. I mean, I hope this discussion about these figures helps and convinces people that this was not a flop, or you know, or all this bad publicity they seem to have gotten. I feel like it's not warranted.
Well, I'm one that can't give, again, I can't give you guys out there an opinion on posability or things like that. I'm just looking from what I look at. There's, you know, the things I've said, the ones that are my favorite, least favorite. I mean, all great for display either way. Trapjaw, the top for the one, and Stratos, and then Prince Adam. For the other one, definitely Lord Grasp, then Terror, and then Plasmar. And when whoever wins this, when I just do that here in just a bit, when you guys, whoever wins it, don't yell at me if something does break, because I didn't take these out of the box, dang it. So that would be UPS or somebody else if there's that issue. But no, they're both great sets. But the other quick topic I wanted to talk about, and since there's people in the chat room, you know, I put a post up on my wall because it seems like I've seen a lot of people talking about two different things in general. They've been talking about the possible movie and a possible cartoon. So I put it up there to fans. I said, you know, if you had the choice, what would you prefer? Would you hope that they could give us a new Masters of the Universe live action movie? Or would you prefer a cartoon if they could give us something that we could see, you know, have 20 episodes and, you know, however many they would do for a season? It seemed like most of the people said cartoon, but I'm not against having either, because you could look at it saying, okay, if they do a cartoon series, it could bring in hopefully a new generation of fans. It would please, hopefully, the old generation of fans. Then maybe that could spin off into toys, merchandise, and then here comes a movie. Or you could look at it the other way, where some people said, I really don't care about cartoons no more. I just want a live-action movie. Give me that, and maybe that would give merchandise. So I can't really say that one is better than the other. I would actually love them both. But I guess, I don't know if you want to say the kid in me, I would hope if they did a cartoon, it could have that good feel that the MYP did. But then, of course, you know, just keep building and expanding upon it and then seeing what they do. And I would love to see a movie, but it's unfortunate. Like, what just happened again? They just announced that somebody, another person, could be writing the script for the movie. It's like, why do we have to endure this for almost 16 years? All we keep hearing is the same thing. That's why, I guess, in a way, I almost don't want to say movies. I'm so disheartened of hearing about this movie in limbo for 16 years. How can I get excited, Tyler, when it just keeps getting delayed and delayed? And remember, this is supposed to be official. And everybody said, Joe, no, this time it's for real. It's December of 2019. It's happening. Well, ever since that announcement, they still have had nothing. There's nothing. I can't get excited. And I hate that I can't get excited. So I don't know about you, what you prefer, but damn, that movie excitement. I can't feel it.
If I could show the Jim Cornette face, you know, in reaction to this pissant bit of news, I mean, no, I can't get excited about a new movie because first off, they've been changing directors and changing writers and changing script ideas and this and that for years and years and years. Apparently nobody seems very interested. No film studio, because this property is switched studios multiple times, and you know, obviously it's not that important, or they don't find it to be a very interesting idea. And it just shows you just how, you know, you look at the lack of a better phrase, horse shit that, sorry for the cussing there, but crap that a lot of that series just keep putting out. I mean, it's just nothing of great interest. And
the way, well, here, real quick, if you could hold that thought real quick, I'll give a general idea of at least what the fans in the chat room are saying. Like, we have Avio said a new cartoon. Christopher Dahlberg, he said cartoon. Adam Bimere, oh my God, I'm sorry, man, if I butchered your name. He said movie. Colin, he says cartoon. Tom Charlton says cartoon. JSB, he said both. Tom Charlton, he said, please no David Goyer movie. So I guess that's the name of the guy that'd be doing it.
He's going to direct and write.
There you go. Yeah, Christopher Dahlberg said, or a cartoon movie. I think there was two more people that might have, let me see. David Clark said, the Master Universe Classics movie figures look beautiful, so a new live action movie could give us more nicely detailed classic figures. So, I mean, that's a different way of looking at it. David Clark also said, I want more mini comics. He said coloring books. He said much easier than a cartoon or movie. Yeah, I guess so. And somebody else said they wanted a John Carter style movie. But exactly, Tom Charlton. That's the big thing to bring up. December 2019 is supposed to be what? Another Star Wars movie, correct?
Yeah, I believe that they, because the third installment of the Star Wars trilogy was moved to May 2019. And then I think once,
well, just for example, if that happened, yeah, you definitely wouldn't want a He-Man coming out that then.
The guy, oh God, I can't believe I forgot his damn name. He directed Star Trek and then Star Wars Force Awakens.
J.J. Abrams? J.J. Abrams?
Damn, I can't believe I forgot his name.
It's okay.
Anyway, when they got him back to do the third and final installment of the trilogy, they moved the release date back to Christmas of December 2019, the Christmas season. So we're back to it again, where we're going to have a He-Man movie come out against the biggest juggernaut a movie theater could ever have. So, I mean, it's one thing to have confidence in it to release it during the holiday season, but you don't release a movie against Star Wars. I don't care what it is. You don't release a superhero movie of any kind against Star Wars. You don't release another Harry Potter movie against Star Wars. You don't release, you know, an anticipated novel about, you know, 50 Shades of Caribbean Green against Star Wars. You know, you just...
Leave some things. Yeah, you don't play with some of the big dogs like that. Like,
not to mention, too, I mean, look, you know, as we said before, people who I'm sure are fans of other 80s properties, G.I. Joe, Turtles, Transformers, they're all film properties that have been, hell, even Jim, you know, I'm not a fan of Jim, but I remember watching the cartoon some as a kid. All these movies based on 80s properties have, even if they made money, they're not respected films. And I like original Transformers, and I can't figure out why the hell are these movies making so much damn money when the acting is horrible. The military's got entirely too much screen time in these movies, and people are paying their hard-earned money to watch the Transformers, not Michael Bay's hard-on for the military in these movies.
It's all about special effects. They love the special effects. That's why they got nuts.
Effects, but you know what? I want to see Optimus Prime and Megatron talking. I do not want to see Shia LaBeouf and Mark Wahlberg taking up the majority of the screen time.
Of course you do. They're your favorite actors.
Oh, they screwed both those films up. Both Turtle films. I refuse to see either one of them. I don't care what's offered in those films. They look ridiculous, and it just, again, showing taking another treasured property and taking a big soft serve dump all over over it. And He-Man, I feel like, I'm sorry, it's going to happen to this property too. You may have a few people who are going to think, no matter what we get, it's going to be great. But greatest thing ever. Be well worth 30 years waiting to get the new He-Man movie. That's fine too. But look, I think the vast majority of He-Man fans are going to be pissed off with what Sony, keyword Sony, is going to put out. Sony is not reputable for making great films. I mean, you know, is it, like when the way Joe is talking to Joe, am I not keeping your attention here? But you're looking all over the place.
I'm sorry, I'm listening, but I was going to grab something. You keep going. Keep talking. I am listening. Go ahead.
All right, well, anyway, Joe had mentioned, too, about this long longevity of, like, we've been hearing news and news and news for years and years. And it's similar to them trying to do Ghostbusters 3, where, as you know, you thought it was a great idea to have a third Ghostbusters film with all the original Ghostbusters back, maybe doing a passing of the torch or just seeing what the Ghostbusters are up to in the third installment and just... The more and more you kept hearing, like, Dan Aykroyd running his mouth saying it's going to happen. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I finally got to where I'm like, you know what? I don't want a third Ghostbusters film. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of being let down all the time. I'm tired of hearing that Bill Murray doesn't want to do it, and then he does. And the same thing with the He-Man movie. At this point, you know what? If Hollywood's not going to take these 80s properties and look at it nothing more as, yeah, we're going to make these really kind of silly slapstick, you know, movies with a lot of special effects, with a lot of bad jokes and humor in it, and a schlocky director. And if it doesn't fail, well, then apparently people just aren't into these properties as much as we thought they were. You know, I'm
and
like,
it's not that. No, you're right. It's not that. It's not that we're not into it. It's just they delivered a bad product because they really didn't research.
Don't seem to quite understand that. So I feel with two bad Turtles films, two bad G.I. Joe films, and every film of Transformers, I only saw the first one. I did refuse to see the rest of them after that. I'm sorry, but I have no faith in Hollywood. I have no faith in Sony, and I sure as hell have no faith in David Goyer, who I'm quite certain is not, you know, he doesn't have the track record of making, yes, he wrote Blade, I'm pretty sure, and wrote Blade 2 and then directed Blade 3, which I think is universally hated, of course. You know, he worked on, you know, the Christopher Nolan Batman films as a writer, but that does not make him the right guy to bring the world of Eternia to the big screen and give us a convincing and very powerful villain in Skeletor and give us a hero in He-Man that gives you goosebumps when the transformation kicks in, that you can't wait to see them fight at the end of the movie. That's not going to turn Orko into an obnoxious character that's probably voiced by Marlon Wayans because they think it'd be funny. And
you know, I mean, I guess that's what scares me is the thought of, like, let's say it actually came out in December of 2019, which it's not, but let's say in some miracle world it did, and if it went up against Star Wars, I mean, the thing is, we've been waiting so long to have a new movie, and if you're trying to bring back this property, and not only bring back, just like I always said with the cartoon, bring in the older generation and a new generation, I don't feel like they would give it enough time and love, meaning, let's say it did come out and went against Star Wars, unfortunately, Masters of the Universe would get buried, and it would be forgotten then as a bomb because most people are going to go see Star Wars. And if we're still to this point looking for people to write, you know, the script for this movie, figure it out, and there's still nothing that's been greenlit, what product could they possibly deliver by 2019 would be that amazing? Because you figure the story would probably get rushed. This is something that, yes, is going to have to dazzle us. We know that people had an issue with it being on Earth for 1987, which we know because, yes, budget reasons, of course they couldn't give us the world of Eternia. So this time, yes, you assume we would get Eternia, but if they're to create the world of Eternia, again, that's going to take probably a lot of special effects, a big budget, and I cannot see this happening by 2019.
Well,
that's sad fact.
This movie does not have, I mean, me personally, hell, I'd love to see some actual locations, like, shot. You know, I'd like to see... Not everything is going to be green screen. Everything's going to be shot in the studio, and they're going to add it all into post production. I'd like to actually see He-Man and Teela and Man at Arms and Stratos, and mix it up. Throw in Clamp Champ and Cyclone or something like that. Don't always have to make it the original first few figures that came out. But anyway.
I think that's why I want a cartoon. Yeah, I guess that's why I'd want a cartoon more. At least with the cartoon.
A cartoon gives you more chances to have better episodes. With the movie, you got one shot. You've cast one actor. You can always go back and change the voice actors, I guess, if it doesn't work out for whatever reason. But they never changed Clawful's voice in the NYP cartoon, so I guess that won't be the case.
But you're right, that's what I mean. With the cartoon, there's multiple episodes. There's a story for each one.
Have a dud here and there, but have a whole lot of great episodes. With that one movie, man, you got one shot to make it good.
That's it. Exactly.
One bad story is that's one bad story too many.
Exactly. That's what I mean. If you just have the movie, it comes out and it bombs, they're going to like, I don't want to touch this property. We're not going to do a cartoon. We're not going to do any more. At least try to build upon it. Do the cartoon. Hopefully it'll be a success. Like Jackie Miller was mentioning in the chat room about Castlevania on Netflix, which is a great cartoon. I've watched that. But yes, I'd love to see a cartoon because you can start building a new audience. You could have season one, maybe season two, merchandise start popping up. And then once Masters is hot, then they could give us a movie. But that's why, again, I don't see a cartoon happening anytime soon. It would be great, but there was others that when they're having choices, some said games. That's what I was reaching for, Todd. I was going to say, see, this is for you, buddy. This is a Spectrum Master. Whoops, wrong way. The Spectrum Masters of the Universe game that they had. So they had this one with kind of like based with things that happened in the movie. They had this other Spectrum. I like some of the crazy art that they did for these games, but there's this other Spectrum here, and there was the arcade game one they did also. They did
Wait, hold it still. You're moving around too fast.
Oh, sorry. There you go. I know my reflection is hitting the one part, but yeah, they tried to do at least – oh, here's back to the other one. You know, I guess, like I said, the games, of course, back then – you know, can always be saying, hey, they weren't that amazing. But still, anytime you could have something for your favorite property, it could be fun to play. You know, not including, of course, they had Intellivision, Atari. Coleco didn't get their version. But, no, I guess if I had my choice, yes, I would just pick a cartoon to be made just because I'd hope there would be more potential of something building upon it. Because if the movie hits or comes out and it's just a bomb, you're done. You're never going to see anything else. That's why we need a cartoon, at least in my opinion. I think a cartoon could give us the movie and then some, you know, just give us more stuff, hopefully.
Yeah, the cartoon really allows you to branch out and see a lot more because, I mean, that's part of what makes Master of the Universe so epic in scale is that it's not just about He-Man. This is an entire world of heroes and villains from, you know, the three factions of the Snake Man, the Horde, and the Evil Warriors, too. The Heroic Warriors, and of course you've got tying it all in with She-Ra on Etheria. And with the cartoon, you have endless possibilities of doing episodes that focus on Eternia. Then this episode focuses on Etheria. And then you can even do a flashback episode and talk about He-Ra and Eldor and their times of fighting the Snake Men and dealing with the dinosaurs. And then cut back and do an episode of Clawful and Jitsu, you know, pillaging, you know, plundering and pillaging like a small village and Fisto and He-Man have to go in there and stop them. Just something simple. And then you go back and tell another She-Ra story. There's so much stuff to work with, which is why I have no faith in Hollywood to take this stuff seriously, write the characters with legitimate dialogue that doesn't sound like something that belongs in a Fast and the Furious movie, with effects that aren't going to make you roll your eyes because they clearly didn't take their time to do quality effects. To hire a hacky composer and not do a score that's going to give you goosebumps when you listen to it on its own, let alone in the movie theater. You know, the way they're going with Marvel movies, they're trying to do entirely too many jokes. Nobody can make serious action movies. Everything's got to be joke, ha, 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 you know, knee slappers. I got a million of them. I worry about what that He-Man is. If, like, they're going to think a mainstream audience is not going to take this movie seriously because it's guys running around in loincloths. But when Conan the Barbarian was released in 1981, he had bikers lining up outside the theater to come in there and see Arnold beat the hell out of people.
Yeah, like, nobody had.
But He-Man, not to the violent extent, of course. We can't have He-Man chopping heads off in the movie. Nor do I.
Unless it's a snake head, he could do that. We've seen that in the Sunbird Legacy.
Something, yes, I am all for He-Man impaling with the power sword. But I don't want to see him cut off Skeletor's head or Jitsu's head or something like that. No.
Yeah, we got to have these guys be timeless and come back.
And if Sony is going to hire him, David Goyer is a hack director. He may have some solid credit with some writing credits, but that's it. He has no business directing anything, nothing, especially sure as I'm not a He-Man movie. And Sony's just not the company, not the place for a He-Man movie to be made. I mean, look what happened to Ghostbusters regardless of the uphill battle that they were going to be facing making that film anyway, they're not going to take He-Man seriously. They're going to make it silly. They're going to make it, you'll be rolling your eyes the entire time.
You know, I got to bring something up. You know, when you're talking about a movie score, I mean, I'll bring up a series why, you know, it might sound silly when I say this, like, why would you compare this series and even bring up Masters? But this is why I say sometimes music helps build a suspense of something.
It does.
It does. Not just talking about the original Halloween and how when it didn't have that music and the sound effects, the studios thought it was a joke. But before John Carpenter went back, did the instrumental to the song that we know and that tune for Halloween and the bam sound effects that made it. But this is something I've always had an issue with. I love Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, especially 1. Just love it. And it has that kind of, you know, it has a good action, you know, music that helps build it. Here came 3, and Mantel, I don't know about you. I don't know what they did with Beverly Hills Cop 3, but it has such a weird soundtrack that just felt off. I couldn't get into it. It's weird how music can suck you into moments. And I don't know, I just thought about Beverly Hills Cop. I don't know if you've ever listened to really the soundtrack or how the music's playing.
I
haven't
seen Beverly Hills Cop in probably 20 years. I mean, the third one. And
yeah, that's only part 3.
I haven't seen it since.
It was just terrible. I was not drawn in, but I could go back and I can listen to any of the soundtracks or the special music that was being played to get into it. But yeah, like I said, of course, we ain't talking He-Man level, but you're right. You have some good atmospheric, you know, sci-fi, barbaric, all sorts of combinations, whatever you're going to do. Because remember, Masters of the Universe is, you know, sword and science and magic and fantasy. It's everything. So bring
it's
that
have big, big booming score. I mean, I think a lot of
bass.
Yeah. You know, well, a lot of James Horner's scores, like for Willow, you know, and Braveheart, you know, and I mean, I don't know if I can't say Danny Elfman because I've never known Danny to do an action movie like this. I mean, his Batman score was that equal, but and James Horner, unfortunately, is no longer with us. I mean, I think of Michael Kamen's score for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was very epic as well. And that's the kind of score it needs to be. I mean, there's too many, you know, guns for hire, you know, composers just kind of do something to kind of fill in the background, and that's about it.
Like even Hook. I don't know who did Hook, but Hook.
John Wayne did Hook, and that's a fantastic score. It's an emotional score. And I mean, believe me, if pipe dream to think, wait, John Williams would be tapped. You know, he's getting up there in age. You know, who knows, after he's done scoring these Star Wars films, he may retire completely, but I mean, he's another guy who could do an amazing action-oriented score where Skeletor has a theme, He-Man has a theme. There's a He-Man themes music to open the movie, and you know. Sony is not going to hire a very well-known, well-versed composer to make a score that's going to intensify something that a mainstream audience that sees Skeletor in Geico commercials take seriously. And that's what worries me too, is that they're going to appeal to the fact that He-Man and Skeletor are showing up in these silly commercials, and they're going to point and laugh because they're under the impression that these are silly characters as opposed to guys that could, you know, crush your hand and, you know, wouldn't hesitate to pick you up and throw you off a cliff, you know. That's what just worries me. And a cartoon, you know, like on Netflix, you know, something like that, you know, where you could, you know, release an entire season and you know, you have a chance to build up, you know, Prince Adam getting the power sword, meeting Skeletor, Skeletor getting his group of evil warriors together and throwing hints of the past and what's going to come with the Horde invading Eternia, the birth of She-Ra.
And I'm going to bring that up. You know, it's funny, again, you talk about, when you're talking about, you know, the scores for Masters of the Universe and Filmation, how not only the sound effects, but that music would bring you into the cartoon. I said it a long time ago about when I first seen New Adventures on DVD for the first time. Not only was it weird to look at the animation when I first seen it, but I was like, where is that atmosphere? This music is not sucking me in. The sound effects, the moments, the power, you know, when he transforms, nothing. And what's funny is, I think when we did the episode where we were talking about the first episode of New Adventures, the next day, Mr. Mitrovich, you know, who works with James Etok, you know, in their collaborations, yeah. He shared a link, and damn, if it wasn't genius, I think it was him and James. I don't know if they did together or if it was just James Etok. But he said, Joe, check out this video of the first episode of New Adventures of He-Man with the Masters of the Universe, I mean, with the Filmation music and sound effects and score. Damn it, Tyler. It felt It was weird. I was brought in. That's what I mean. Sometimes you need that.
Is this on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. I'll get you the link. And for those that maybe are listening.
Because I'd like to see it.
I'm telling you, especially for people in the chat room, people that haven't seen it, I can even put it on my Facebook page and on the Fans of Power podcast Facebook
yeah,
page.
Yeah, do that.
It actually changes your almost feeling of that cartoon. Because I told you, when you watch it, you're not sucked in. But when I was feeling, I was like, you know what? It looks different. Of course, it doesn't look like Filmation, but I felt like I was drawn in. It's genius. That's what I mean. Music is very important, but
it is. And I Sony's not the place where they're going to make these kind of decisions. I'm sorry, but they're not. All the more reason why fans should not be clamoring for a He-Man movie from Sony when they're not going to, even though the Amazing Spider-Man, you know, the score was done by James Horner. It was a fantastic score. I personally like the Amazing Spider-Man. I get why people don't, but that's not the point. It had an awesome score to it. I really got it helped intensify the emotional moments in the movie, regardless of flaws you may find with it. James Horner's score was exceptionally good. Hell, I even liked the one that Hans Zimmer did for Amazing Spider-Man Part 2. But, you know, I just feel like you can't settle for a generic, you know, score ABC by the numbers. This has got to be something that's moving, that's touching. Like, to me, this could really make or break the movie is if they do a movie, the first time Prince Adam becomes He-Man, like that transformation sequence has got to have a score that's going to make your nipples hard, the hair on your arms and the hair on your head stand up with goosebumps. And, you know, the guys in the audience are going to be shaken and just like the adrenaline is going to be kicking because you're so excited to see this. And the girls are going to be, well, they're going to need wet floor signs because they're going to be so excited, you know.
Calm down. You know what's funny? Well, that's the thing. You talk about getting the goosebumps and everything else. I remember, like, in the MYP cartoon, when Prince Adam first changed into He-Man, and they did that, you know, score and how he, you know, transformed.
That was good.
Man, it sucked you in. You need that. And you also need a good variety of scores. Don't reuse a same thing, like, in every different moment. Like, God, I don't know why I keep bringing up these weird examples, but, okay, like, the Delta Force. I love that movie with Chuck Norris. But they reused that damn thing every time they got on the, you know, the helicopter. I was like, oh, my God, I've heard this soundtrack 80 times. But, yeah, so I have multiple ones. So, well, here's hoping for whatever. But so that's our little thoughts on the cartoon.
I think everybody's going to be pleased. Well, like I said, it really depends on who's running the show. If you're not going to have a quality group who's going to make a good, who has a track record of making a good cartoon, or if you're not going to put it on an outlet like that's going to, you know, like Netflix. I just feel like Netflix it's a good place. Whereas Cartoon Network, I don't know if I would, you know, given the fiasco with NYP, where they're constantly changing around the time slots for He-Man, I just kind of feel like I'm burned by that.
Yeah.
Not it still couldn't work on the Adult Swim segment, which is probably where something like He-Man probably belongs. Not in a because of a gore factor, but, you know, put it on there for us fans, for teenage boys, you know. Don't make it feel like it's gotta be for the little youngsters.
Or hell, just even a Netflix series could be genius. They're doing so much on Netflix.
Well, they did with Voltron. They had no problem making a Voltron series and of course I haven't watched it and
Castlevania, as Jackie Miller mentioned. Yeah, and they're both great. I mean, they're both great.
So I kind of feel like Netflix, a new cartoon on Netflix would be the way to go, because there would be less studio interference from, you know, cable companies worrying about, you know, we can't play this on our channel. We got little kids eating cereal while watching this, and this is not appropriate or some nonsense like that. So
then eventually we could get Stranger Things, the cartoon series, and we get stuff like that. Man, oh no, never mind.
Like how we got an Alf cartoon series, and we got a Dumb and Dumber cartoon series, and we got a Mask cartoon.
Well, let me just mention
series, and we got
I did want to say one thing with fans out there. When you just said Alf the cartoon, that's got a funky theme song, so remember, do that YouTube and say Alf cartoon theme song. That's funky. But all right, man, well, like I said, that's all our topics for this episode. Before we wrap it up, you want to say something, and I'm gonna tell people how to win this three pack, but you go ahead first, T-Rex.
To give away another Leech mini comic. There we go. I don't know if you can see it as well, but if you have not gotten a copy of the unofficial Leech Master of Power Suction mini comic that me and Karsten Clinch redid I'm going to giving away another free copy. If you can answer this question and put your answer on the Fans of Power Facebook page, which episode of She-Ra does Leech utter the line, "I've got you now, She-Ra"? So I need to know the name of the episode. Well, obviously, you know who he's talking to, so it's She-Ra. So I tell you what, if you give me the name of the episode and who is in that scene with Leech and She-Ra, you win this copy of this mini comic. And I will pay for the shipping. All you got to do is send me your address and tell me on the Fans of Power Facebook page what episode and who else is in the scene with Leech and She-Ra.
Okay, and as you just told them, they can go to the Fans of Power Fans of Power Podcast Facebook page and just post it on there. So you don't have to wait for a question. Yeah.
Here, Joe, you have to post it on that Facebook page. And we had two winners last week. So, I sent out their copies, you know, at the beginning of the week. So hopefully they've received theirs already. And I'll just continue to give away more of these until I run out. So,
all right. Well, that's awesome, man. Thanks for offering that to the fans, Tyler. Now for me, as you know, on this podcast, we usually like digging into sometimes talking about vintage comics, cartoons, the movies, the toys, anything you could think of. So of course, I'm not just going to make it super easy, but this is also not super hard. What I'm going to have you do is nothing hard to win this three pack. It'll take a little bit of research. And you know what? I'm hoping that people can get it like that, which they could, but I didn't want to just do a one thing. So it's 10:20 right now. So in 10 minutes on the Fans of Power Podcast Facebook page, I'm just going to post the trivia question and I'm going to post a picture of what I want fans to tell me. There's three particular things. And the first person that can reply to that picture on the Fans of Power Podcast Facebook page will win. I want to make sure I'm picking up the right one. Yes, you will win this three pack. I'll send it to you. I'll lovingly wrap it for you. I was trying to quote a movie, but I can't remember how it was where somebody said something like that. But yes, I'll make sure this is nice and protected and boxed up, and I'll send it to you so you can win this and have something nice for Christmas. And then later in the week, just on my Joe Abbato page, just me on my regular personal Facebook page, I'll do something for you guys to win this three pack too. So one I was doing for the podcast, one I'm going to do on my page. And like I said, just hopefully just gives you guys a nice little Christmas gift, something fun. And, you know, if you've been wanting it and you have it, and if you already have it, you can have an extra set, whatever. But well, that was it for this episode. I mean, next week I'll be back a little more intense, hopefully, and we'll dive into something else. And my voice will sound a little more pepped up. It's been wiped out.
A pretty good job considering there. I mean, we've had some exciting talk about these figures and
movies. Yeah, my voice has been a little off. And I'm sure as you guys can hear, it hasn't been like normal, but yeah, it just got worn out this week. But all right, man. Well, what'd you want to say to the fans before we wrap it up? And then we'll wrap this up and they'll go do what I told them to do.
Let's see. Really don't have anything else I could say for this week. I mean, I'm always about plugging, Axel Jimenez's art, Kevin Sharp's artwork. Both of them are on Facebook. Karsten Clinch does art as well. Beautiful artwork. He's the artist behind the Leech mini comic. You know, I always like promoting those guys for their commissions and things like that because they've done some beautiful artwork, especially for me. I guess other than that, all our episodes are available on YouTube. All our episodes are available to download on Podbean and on iTunes under Fans of Power or Pop Culture Network. And you just look for Fans of Power when you type in Pop Culture Network on iTunes. I've been posting the episodes on He-Man.org as well in their, I guess, like a fan media, fan art, fanfic section. So I've been posting the links for the YouTube and the downloads. Some of them, not all of them, but all our episodes are all available on YouTube, on the Fans of Power .com. Is that the website that Doug set up for us?
Yes.
Fans of Power, yeah, fansofpower.com. And on Podbean as well. I guess that's all the other recommendations we got. And any listen to this episode, you got thoughts, characters you want us to go back and rediscuss or discuss for the first time, episodes, things like that, throw them at us. You know, we encourage people to suggest topics and ideas for the episode, I mean, the show, because we can't do this show if people aren't listening to it. And we want listeners to be as much part of it as we are. So.
All right. Most definitely. And I appreciate everybody that was in the chat room. I mean, thank you so much for joining us and watching the show. And I apologize if I didn't interact too much because, you know, we did something different here. So I didn't get to interact with the fans as much as I always do. But next week, definitely I'll be right back in the flow. I'll be doing that, reading your messages. And I'm going to post a question, like I said, on the Fans of Power podcast Facebook page. I'm also going to put the link to that question and that page on my regular personal page, just in case somebody has never seen the Fans of Power podcast Facebook page, you can get linked right to it. So you'll be able to find it on my personal page, Joe Amato, and then it'll take you right to the page. But all right. Well, again, thank you everybody for joining us. And I'll say what I always say, go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to hemanworld.com. And on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man is your ultimate fan group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
No. You're not a worm feast. You're a hallucination, run on my alcohol, Russian vodka, poisoned by Chernobyl.
And that is Bill Murray from Scrooged. I love my Scrooge. I knew that one. See? Finally.
Watching it again multiple times throughout this Christmas season here, people.
Damn, Joe finally got a trivia. I mean, not a trivia, but a quote. I finally got one of the quotes. I never get him.
Joe's got a quote. I mean, hell, he couldn't get his Friday the 13th quote, so he needed to get something there.
Thanks for that nut punch to end on. But no. Right. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks again, guys. And so, see you just comments on Facebook.
All right. Later.